Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
And then the month of what? July, right? The month of July. This is our theme for the month of July. Everybody say power together. Come on, say power together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the NIV. Then I'll introduce and I'll end this message. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians 3, 17. But let's start from 16. So we'll see it was the prayer of Paul. Verse 16. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with what? Ever say with power. Through his spirit in your inner being. Ever say strengthened with power through his spirit in my inner being. And he said, and I pray that out of his glorious riches, may strengthen you, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through what? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together. Everybody say power together. With what? All the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Somebody say power together. With what? With all the saints. So there's something I want to emphasize this month. You know, we've been building up, you know, up till this. There is power that we walk in individually. Everybody say individually. There's power that we walk in. But the Bible keeps on emphasizing that if you want to go to the next level of power, there has to be a corporate expression. I must say corporate expression. He's saying that it is impossible for you to grasp the fullness of God's love until you do it with all the saints. Do you get it? So basically, please get it. This month, we're looking at this thing that we are more powerful when we are together. Very simple. Everybody say we are more powerful together than when we are not together. You are more powerful. In cooperation, in unity, in relationship with other people. Than when we're not together. So I'm going to take some time this month to talk about this together theme in the Bible, because it's a very, very strong theme in the Bible. We're going to look at it. Basically, we just want to look at the power of the corporate anointing. I would say corporate anointing of the Holy Spirit and the possibilities and what we can do, where we can go to when we engage this corporate anointing. Amen. Praise God. So, but let me give you a few things this morning, introduce, and then I will start, you know, I'll start talking about it more, first Wednesday, which takes place this Wednesday, and then throughout the month, we'll talk more and delve deep into it. Amen. Let me just talk to you quickly about the power of together. Everybody say the power of together. Everybody say the power of together. What's the potential of not being an isolated Christian, of not being a Lone Ranger Christian, of understanding this together thing. Thank you. This together thing that we're talking about. Amen. So the first thing, please, if you're writing, write it down. The first thing is this, is what I just shared with you, that to be able to grasp the fullness of God, to be able to know more about God, you cannot do it on your own. Everybody say, I can't do it on my own. You have power together with all the saints to grasp the dimension of God's love. Meaning that you can't fully experience and comprehend all of God's love except in community. Do you get it? Except in community. Now, you can express God's love as a person. Do you get it? But to be able to go into the depth of it, the height of this, to be able to express it to where God wants us to experience it, it has to be done. We have to do it together. Someone say we have to experience God's love together. Now, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to the right crowd. How many of you want in this place? You want to grow in God's love in this place? Let me see. How many of you want to grow in God's love? Amen. Say, I want to grow in God's love. Not just in the way I express it. I want to grow in God's love in the way I experience it. Someone say, experience it. Do you know that there's an expression of God's love that you will only experience through somebody? Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, people show us love. People have showed you love, right? Every time a member of the body of Christ sacrifices for you, the person showed you love. You just experience a part of God's love. You know, for example, this morning, my wife and I arrived from California early this morning around 5 a.m. Peace was supposed to pick us at, what do you call it? It was supposed to pick us at the blue line. So we're supposed to take a train to the blue line and take us there. But she didn't let us take the train. She came to O'Hare to pick us early in the morning. That's love for us. Amen. That's God. That's God showing us love. That's God showing us love. Amen. You know, we went to California and we know how much it will cost us. We spent a week there to book a hotel, you know, for the whole week. But it was just this little Korean woman. You know, her husband was not around. So she was the one that hosted us in her house for most of the day. And this woman running all over the place, helter-skelter, trying to make us early in the morning before we go for the Rick Warren program we're going for. She would have packed something, put it on the car, you know, for us. She was just, the day we were leaving, the way she was running all over the place and all, getting water, doing all that. That's love. It tells me God loves me. Amen. So what I'm telling you is that you can't experience the fullness of God's love except in community. Do you get it? I mean, I don't know whether you have been, you know, maybe you've not been in a situation where you just need somebody, amen, to just come and speak the right word to you. And sometimes not even any word for them to just do something. Maybe you've never been in such a situation before. But when such a thing happens, it's an expression of God's love. Paul said, I was discouraged even to the point of killing myself, up to the point of death. He said, but I was comforted at the coming of Titus. You get it? That's Apostle Paul. Even Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was praying, he said he saw the disciples, you know, he saw them and they were sleeping. And he said, can you not pray with me? See, the Son of God, can you not pray with me for just 1 hour? Do you get it? Can you not just pray with me for just 1 hour? That's the Son of God. And he said they were sleeping and he went and he was praying and he said the sweat that was coming was like blood. He needed his friends to stand with him at that time. So I'm telling you that except we learn together, we cannot experience the fullness of God's love. We'll always be limited. There'll be times when situations will come in life. It might be a situation regarding your marriage, a situation regarding your housing, different areas. That is not the time. Listen, that is not the time for you to wall everybody off. You know, we make the mistake, and I'll be talking about it more later. We make the mistake of when we're going through the tough times, we just wall everybody off. You know, I've had people as a pastor over the years, they say, what's happening to you, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so? How come, what's happening to you? You know, I'm not seeing you, or what's going on? It seems you are withdrawing. Say, you know, Pastor Lan, I was going through some terrible things, and I just felt I just need to be on my own. Wrong move. Everybody say, wrong move. That's the wrong. If the devil ever tempts you to do that, is it what? Is the devil saying, I want to add fry pan to what? Sorry. To the fire. Is this, do you understand my metaphor? Okay. So, or is this fire to the fry pan? Is the other way? Okay. So, in other words, I want to increase. So I've already started with you. Now let me separate you so that I can deal with you more. Do you get it? So, that's the way I deal with my issues. Whenever I go through the issues, I just want to be on my own. Listen, there's some truth, sometimes, you could do that, but listen, as a principle, the hand cannot say to the body that I'm feeling pain, I need to cut myself off temporarily. So that I can what? Heal. How does the hand get healed when it's attacked? By what? The directive of the brain to the whatever, the white blood, I don't know what the white is, the doctors are here. In other words, there's some directive to get the hand healed. Do you get it? It's not by cutting itself off that it gets healed. It gets healed by staying attached. Do you get it? Or somebody says, I'm so sick, I can't come to the healing meeting. Oh, that's the way. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm telling you that there have been some situations in your life that the intervention of God for you is going to be somebody who comes alongside you. Some people think that God, when I pray, oh God, help me, it's going to come from heaven. No, it's going to send people. It will be the intervention of just one person. The person will just come, give you one counsel, give you one thing, or just rub you on the back, or sometimes rebuke you, and that's what gets you out of your funk. Everybody say, together. Say, together. So listen, one of the expressions of God's love is that God is going to arrange relationships around you. And if you want to experience God's love, learn to take advantage of those relationships. Do you get it? Learn to take advantage of those relationships. Number two. Our purpose will only be fulfilled together. Everybody say together. Now listen, these things are absolute. You cannot succeed in isolation. No man can be an island unto himself. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. After God created everything, he said everything was good. There was only one thing he said was not good. Genesis chapter 2. The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be what? To be alone. I will make a helper for him. So he said, he looked at everything he made and it was good. But he now said, it is not good, right? For the man to be alone. Now, this is a principle. I know it's talking about marriage, but it's a principle. The principle is this. You were not created for isolation. You cannot fulfill your purpose on earth in isolation. We fulfill our purpose together. Everybody say together. See, the more you begin to walk in God's purpose for life, the more you see how interconnected everything is. How interconnected everyone is. So value the community around you. Because that community is what God will use to help you fulfill your purpose. The right door, the right thing is already in the community God has put around you. You just say, the next thing you need to do, somebody already has it. The next door that I need to open, somebody already has it. In that community. But people want to look outside. Do you get it? But they don't get it. Because God, instantly, another principle of God, I told you that you start with what you have. Another principle of God is that God will never give you what he has already given you. You get it? God will not give you again what he has already what? Given you. If he has given you in the house, you will never find it outside. If he has given you something, no matter how long you pray, it can never give you again. Are you listening? So that's why we need to pay attention to what we have. Do you get it? And I said, the greatest thing you have is your relationship with God. But followed by that is the relationships that God has arranged around you. That's your greatest gift. Many times I discovered that the things I need, sometimes the things that I think they are very big and all that, they are actually already inside somebody that God has placed around me in relationship. That's the way it has always been. If you can't find it, where he has put you. That means it is not time for you to have it. When it's time for you to have it, your circle will increase. Do you get what I'm saying? But the way it increases, you must be faithful with what you have. Please, nudge your neighbor and say, I think you are very important to me. I've been looking down on you. I've been underestimating you. I've been underestimating your importance. But now I know. Amen. I love testimonies of people. And you'll be amazed that. And I love to categorize things. I love categorizing. That's one of my gifts, categorizing. And that's the way I teach and all that. I love to do that. And I can categorize testimony. For example, testimonies of jobs, like people that are looking for jobs and all that. Do you know that majority of the jobs, like people that are looking for jobs in this church and all that, majority of them, I discovered that they got jobs. Like maybe who have, extended, whatever, looking for job. Amen. They got it through what they were doing in church. In other words, when they were doing the interview, I do references for people a lot. I talk, they call me, you make me references, and they talk. And many times I have to talk about this person was doing this. And that's what they use in giving them the jobs. Several people like that. What did they do? They didn't have a job, right? But what did they do? They were faithful with what they had. Even my wife, when she wanted to get a job at the nonprofit she works for, Chapin Hall, when they saw her resume and they saw that she had worked with all these big companies, they were like, no, you can't fit this place because it's a small place. You know, be the accountant, and she comes with Morgan Stanley and all this. And I said, no. University said, you can't fit that, But what happened? She showed them a resume at City Light. That she was the administrator or whatever for City Light. And when they saw, what does City Light say? It's a small whatever. I said, okay, all right. So that she's an accountant. They understood. Okay, then you can. She's been at that job for 4 years or so now. Amen? But that it was her resume there that showed it. Now, that's regarding job. What about people, just moving into a new season because of recommendations of people? Do you get what I'm saying? That are already around them. Are you listening? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, you do not know the extent to which this relationship that you are looking at goes. Okay, so we went to San Francisco. Or is it San Francisco? San Juan something. Everything is San. San Diego. They mean everything is after saints. Amen. So San Diego, we're there and all that. So we know Ruby. We never met Ruby's mom. Amen. But, we had gone, we did something and all that. And we went to our mom's house, sat down in the place and all that. She served us some good stuff. Amen. We got refreshed. She packed stuff for us as we're going to the airport. That's the first time I'm meeting her. But it's true, Ruby. Amen. I knew Ruby. But her mom is in San Diego. I remember the day we went to Kenya for missions trip in Kenya. So, my friend and my mission partner, we went from Nairobi to Nakuru. So Nairobi to Nakuru is about maybe 1.5 hour drive or so. So one of my friends rented us a car for us to take. One of my friends there also, who I've known before a long time. So he rented us a car to take. So we went with the car. But when we were coming back, of course, gave us a driver. And then, the way you charter a driver and a car, do you get what I'm saying? So when we're coming back, the car broke down. So imagine, we're coming from Nakuru back to where I done the spoken to pastors and that, going back to Nairobi. The car broke down on this road. No street light. Nothing. They warned us, said, on this side of the road, there's this, there's that, and all. I've seen an American pastor, broke down on the road there. So we did something, put some water inside it. We did everything. So it will move. Then it will stop. It will move, then it will stop.
So it was getting into the night.
And then, you know, when you have a cell phone, right? You need a car to walk to charge it. So we had cell phones. So the battery of our cell phone was dying. So in a few moments, we are going to be in the dark. No communication with the world. With nobody. Ikea. Guess what happened? With the little thing we had, I just got a call from Sheila's dad, who just passed away. Sheila here, who just passed away. And he called. He said, my daughter told me that you are around. And that something. And I said, yeah, we're stuck. You know, this man sent. He came with a driver from Nairobi to come and meet us where we're stuck. Amen? And then he took us in his car. Then he took us to a hotel. First of all, fed us because we were tired. So we ate. Then he now drove us back to Nairobi and then put us where we're supposed to be. Amen. God bless him. You know, he just passed away. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the people, you see all these people around you. Amen. You see them around you. They have tentacles. Do you get what I'm saying? They have what? Tentacles. The people you meet right now, you will meet them again. But in a different form. Or you meet somebody who is connected to them. You see, when God puts you in relationship, he puts all that you need in there. Do you get it? He put it so. I'm saying together. Everybody say together. Say together. All right, I'm going to stop now because of time. And I'm going to continue next week. Amen. So we're going to be looking at this together. And I'll show you the importance and I'll show you the things we're supposed to do together. But today, to round off, you know, this service, there's something I just want us to do together. Some of you were not around. But we're just going to do it for a few minutes. Praise God. We're not around at the beginning. That's what I mean. Quickly look at Psalm 34, verse 3. We're going to do that, and that's how we're going to end the service. Psalm 34, verse 3, and we'll give our offerings. Psalm 34 and verse 3. I'll make some announcement. Hey, boy, let's read together. I want to go. Everybody say together. Shout together. You see, there's something about you exalting God's name alone. Someone say it's powerful. Wow. Right, but it is more powerful when you exalt his, when we exalt his name together. Amen. Together, everybody say together. So that's why praising together is powerful. Praising alone is powerful, but praising together is more powerful. When all of us have one focus, please, this is a good time to play the keyboard. When all of us have a strong focus, that we are magnifying God. I want to say magnifying God. That's what we're doing. That we're magnifying him together. Together. Let us exalt his name together. I want to say, I was glad when they said, let us go where? Let us go. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's power in together. In Second Chronicles chapter 5, it says when the musicians, they became one and they began to sing the praises of the Lord. They said the place was filled with the presence of God. The place was filled with the presence of God. So, I want us to praise God together for the first 6 months of this year. Okay? Everybody say together. I want us to do that. I want us to praise him together today. For the first 6 months of this year. For his goodness, for his wonderful love, for the amazing things that he has done. So if you can just rise up on your feet, everyone. Don't forget our key word for this month. Power what? Everyone say power together. He said it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound. Everyone say one sound to be heard in praising and what? Were they singing to themselves? In praising and what? Thanking the Lord. And when they lifted, ever say they lifted. So it wasn't, this was not singing, you know, to themselves. Their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instrument of music. And praise the Lord, saying, for he is what? Everybody say he is good. Remember what I told you about perspective, right? You know what I told you about perspective? Settle it in your heart that God is good. Do you get it? When you understand that God is good, when you know he's good, you will look at everything that happens to you through the lens of good. Are you listening? You will look at it. Everybody said, I mean, that's something that you should tweet. Amen. Say, when you know that God is good, you will look at everything that happens to you through the eyes of good. So something that you will normally look at, this is bad. Why do I have to go through this? Of all the people. But when you know that God is good, you will look through the aisle and say, you know, there must be something good that God is doing with this thing. Amen. And many times later, you now discover that it's actually good. Because sometimes we don't even know what is good for us. Just like little children, you know, and all that, you're raising little children. Sometimes they think they know what is good, but they don't know what is good. But they will grow up to know what is what? Good. So that's the same thing when we're walking with God. There are some things that I've looked back in my life and said, this is bad. In those days, I was like, this is bad. But now I look back and say, that was the best thing that happened to me. Because if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have found that one. This wouldn't have happened. And I can tell you examples and examples. At the point where they were happening, I was crying. But now I laugh about them. Because the tears unleashed a season. Oh man, are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Who is in this place right now who is seeing some things in their lives and think it's bad? It is time to praise God because he's what? And he's what? And his mercy does what? His mercy endures forever. His mercy is never going to leave you. Are you listening? No matter what is happening, his mercy is never going to leave you. You know what the mercy is? The mercy of God is God's love expressed to you that does not allow you to get what you deserve. What you deserve. You deserve judgment, but his mercy says, you know what? No, I'm going to give up. It's God's compassion towards you. God's compassion towards you endures forever. It endures forever. You know, and as we're saying, it's good, it's mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. You know what we want to do in this place? As we leave this place today, we want you to go with the glory of the Lord all over you. And the Bible tells us that the way to do it is to change your perspective. Amen. And begin to declare the goodness of God. Oh man, hallelujah. Has God been good to somebody for the past 6 months of this year? Lift up your voices and begin to praise him right now.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.